Those of you, us, who believe that God is with us, say amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. It is always wonderful to worship together with you in this beautiful sanctuary. And I pray that each of you will have the personal visit from the Holy Spirit, comforting you, strengthening you, empowering you in every possible way, especially through the Word of God that God has prepared for us all to hear this morning. The following questions are not complex, but finding the correct answers could not be as easy. Why isn't the word phonetic spelled the way it sounds? You know how to spell phonetic? Why are there interstate highways in Hawaii? Never been to Hawaii, but apparently there is. Why are there flotation devices on the plane seats instead of parachutes? Why are cigarettes sold in gas stations when smoking is prohibited there? How does the guy who drives the snowplow get to work in the morning? If 7-Eleven is open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, why are there locks on the door? If nothing ever sticks to Teflon, how do they make Teflon stick to the pan? That's a big question. How do they drive? Why do we drive on parkways and park on driveways? Maybe you got to change the name. Why is it that when you transport something by car, it is called shipment, but when you transport something by ship, it is called cargo? You know why the English language is so difficult? I'm still struggling with. Our personal lives are not so complex, but we have many unanswered questions, such as, why am I here? What would tomorrow bring to me? When would God call me home? Uncertainties are one reason we can't answer those questions. Uncertainties cause an average person to fear and make him unmotivated to take any action. Israel faced considerable uncertainty with the inundated Jordan. How could the entire nation cross the flooded river? It's not simply realistic. Would the water stop? It's not possible in the law of physics. Could Israel safely settle in the unknown land of Canaan and survive? Probably not there, but in the desert. If the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had not touched the water's edge, out of doubt and fear, the water would not have stopped, and entering the promised land would have become just a pipe dream. But the priest stepping into the water removed all uncertainties and transformed the impossible crossing possible. The crossing of Jordan teaches us the importance and necessity of taking steps of faith to experience God's power and miracles. Let's begin with the Bible's description of the water of the Jordan at the time of Israel's crossing. It says, the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. This short description of the time of harvest and on the inundated Jordan is accurate. How do we know so? The water source for Jordan is the Mount Hermon. The mountain ranges are about 270 square miles and sit on the eastern border of Lebanon, western border of Syria, and northern border of Israel. The mountain summit is 9,232 feet high and is the highest point on the east coast of the Mediterranean Sea. The mountain ranges, so wide and so big, get plenty of snow and rain from the fall through the spring. A lot of snow is piled up during the winter, and the snow begins to melt as the weather gets warmer in the spring. Soils are saturated. Anything above what it had would flow into the Jordan River. During the spring, the amount of water in the Jordan is easily doubled or tripled by melted snow, abundant spring water, and the rain. Those of you who visited Jordan may have seen a small stream of water because the weather pattern has changed over the years. But Jordan still experiences a high water period from January to March today. Now, the time of their crossing was right before Passover, because soon after Israel crossed the Jordan, they celebrated Passover in Gilgal in Canaan. Passover is celebrated on the first night of a full moon after the spring equinox, which usually occurs in March. The time of harvest is another description that points to the spring. The first day of the week after Passover was the day of the feast of the first fruits. It was the day to celebrate the first harvest of the year during spring. On a side note, the feast of the first fruits was the day of resurrection, and the Apostle Paul interpreted as Jesus becoming the first fruit of resurrection. You put all those together, the geology, topography, the weather pattern, and the spring harvest agree with the time of their crossing and point to the accuracy of the biblical description that they crossed the Jordan during the spring harvest when the river was at the flooding stage. Some experts speculate that during the spring harvest, the accumulated body of water of Jordan would have widened to 2 miles, and the depth reached about 120 feet. Todd Bolden, author of BiblePlaces.com, writes, "In 1854, an expert swimmer was unable to make it across the river near Jericho because the river was too wide and the current too strong." So it happened not long ago, about 100-something years ago. Considering all these, the flooding Jordan would have been a scary scene for the Israelites. They spent 4 decades in the barren and dry desert where water of any kind, spring, stream, or rain, was scarce. Suddenly, they saw a vast and torrential river before them, and entering the promised land became unmanageable. For so long, they longed to go to the land flowing with milk and honey, but the land of their dream was beyond the terrifying river. In this scene, God intervened and directed Joshua. And Joshua said to the priest in verse 9, "You carry the Ark of the Covenant ahead of the people. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." Now, an interesting point here. How the priest touched the water's edge is repeated two more times to give a detailed description. Verse 13, when the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord come to rest in the water of the Jordan. Verse 15, the feet of the priest bearing the ark were dipped in the edge of the water. Compiling all three verses shows that the whole group of priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant stepped onto the water's edge and stood still with all their feet under the water. This action is not to be understood as our cultural concept of testing the water, which implies alternatives of stepping in and stepping out as we wish. Joshua and the priests were already determined to face the danger of crossing the inundated river and were not looking for an alternative. They stepped into the water with the attitude of pressing forward in one direction and no option of withdrawing. Their step anticipated stopping the water flow and walking on the riverbed. No one with a natural mind, rational mind, would take such a step. Their action was absurd and would not change anything. They just were wasting their time and energy. However, the ones with faith in God take this kind of step. Therefore, the priest's actions can be identified as a step of faith. Do we take a step of faith into the troubled waters? Our rational mind tends to dominate in normal conditions and prevails even more during a crisis. It is always hard to take the first step to walk into the areas of uncertainty where we have not walked before. Taking the steps of faith into problem areas would be our last thing to do. But pay attention what God directed them to do. Knowing our infirmities, God does not demand us to take a giant step, but a small one that we can handle. God did not command the priests to keep walking into the torrent and risk their lives, but to step in and stand on the water's edge, which was merely ankle deep. God did not ask them to stand in the water for a whole day or days and wait patiently for something to happen. When they step into the water, NIV translates it, as soon as step in, the water flow stops. When we take small steps of faith, God's power begins to transform our troubled situations. The priest's first small steps soon led to the complete stoppage of the flooded Jordan, and over 1 million Israelites could walk on the dry ground. Small actions can have a big impact. And the Bible testified that a small step of faith works powerfully and invites God's miracles. However, when we face problems, we tend to test water instead of taking the step of faith into the water and standing there believing God's intervention. when we test the water, we still hold the initiatives in our hands. When we take the step of faith, we give that initiative over to the hand of God so that God has the initiative. God has the control over our situation. This piece was heard on National Public Radio's morning edition on November 2, 1988. In 1958, America's first commercial jet air service began with the flight of the Boeing 707. A month after that first flight, a traveler on a piston engine, propeller-driven DC-6 airliner, struck up a conversation with a fellow passenger. The passenger happened to be a Boeing engineer. The traveler asked the engineer about the new jet aircraft, whereupon the engineer began speaking at length about the extensive testing Boeing had done on the jet engine before bringing it into commercial service. He recounted Boeing's experience with the engines from the B-17 to the B-52. When his traveling companion asked him if he himself had yet flown on the new jet 707 jet airliner, the engineer replied, "I think I'll wait until it's been in service a while." The Boeing 707 is considered a milestone in aviation history and has become very popular. It was the standard for commercial passenger travel in the late 1950s and early 1960s. But the engineer did not have confidence in the airplane. Even after so many tests was done and wanted to test the water more, the engineer's attitude reflects how we handle problems and walk on a new path we have not walked on before. We need the attitude of the priest, not of the Boeing engineer. In our journey, we face many moments in which the step of faith is called for. You just have two options. Are you going to stay here in the side of the desert and wander more? Or are you going to go over to the other side that has milk and honey flowing? Should we settle comfortably where we are or step boldly into the unknown territory? The priest not stepping into the water but standing outside the water would have meant the continuation of the desert life. We need to face problems by faith as the priest stepped into the flooding Jordan and not run away from our problems. Taking a small step of faith transforms our lives and help us witness God's glory amid problems. Amen.